WildTalkRadio.com.
I only have one thing to say. It's great to be back on Monday Night Raw!
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
This is my yard now.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If I were to apply to you now on this concrete, a perfectly executed inside cradle, commonly known as a small package, how long do you think it would take you to escape?
You would never escape a perfectly executed small package. 99% of the time, a small package, when applied expertly by an expert wrestler like myself, always works.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The Queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
To fist or not to fist? That is the question. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Raw Post Show live across the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Presented as always by Gerwick.net and Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. I'm Sorokin. That's Lindsay Ward.
The eternal struggle to fist or not to fist. And I'm glad we opened Monday Night Raw with it because it's a lingering question from last week that has to be answered. We have to know.
There was a rejected fisting last week. There's been rejected fistings in the past. Tonight's opening 15 minutes was, no, I'm going to stick it in first. No, I'm going to stick it in first. No, but I want to. No, I want to. We went back and forth on who was going to stick it in first.
Between Dean and Seth. We should clarify, between Dean and Seth. Not that that makes it any better.
Together, they could run the place, Rollins said. And he knows he can't even trust himself sometimes. So, neither one wanted to be the first one to fist. And then, as the chat's screaming, phrasing. Yep, I'm phrasing it the exact way it should be.
Oh, just wait. Wait for it. Just wait for it.
So then Dean and Seth went, all right, we're going to fight each other. So they fought each other. Then Cesaro and Sheamus went, ooh, they were fighting. We can take advantage. So they went, and they started beating them up. Then Dean and Seth went, nope, we're going to fight back. Then we have a moment. Maybe I'll fist him now. Maybe I will fist him now. And then they fisted one another as the crowd screamed with excitement. This was great storytelling.
This is fantastic storytelling. I love how they're doing this entire thing between Dean and Seth, because this feels like this is how it should be. There shouldn't be that automatic forgiveness from Dean. And, you know, it's like Seth needs to be a little slimy. He needs to be a little greasy because it's, you know, hey, this is still the person that betrayed Dean and Seth. Or I'm sorry, Dean and Roman. So it's like Seth needs to be that person that he was when he did the betrayal, just so we still see that. That, you know, for everything Seth Rollins has become, underneath all of that, he's still that same base person. So I love how they did that. I loved the fight between them. I just love the hell out of that, because it's like, that fits so perfectly into what they were doing. Where it's finally like, okay, fine. One more fight. One more, like, just knock down, drag out, beat the crap out of each other for 5-10 minute fight, because they can't settle it any other way. And I love that. And then it's like Cesaro and Sheamus come out, they take advantage, they try to pick the bones, and ultimately Dean and Seth end up working together, and they stand tall, and they do the thing where they put their fists in together. Now, this doesn't mean that Dean necessarily trusts Seth, but for right now, they're going to work together. And I just really, really enjoyed them bringing them back together like this. Like, they actually took the time to tell that story between them. And I feel like they're going to continue to do that until eventually one betrays the other. Because that's how this works. But in the meantime, I love the hell out of this. I just hope they keep it going.
And the fans were into it. They were hanging on every single word that Dean and Seth were saying. They reacted when they needed to react. They were chanting yes when they should react. It was a perfect segment.
And just to be clear, this is not a reuniting of the Shield. This is a reuniting of Dean and Seth.
But it's not the Shield. Why isn't it the Shield, though?
Because there's one person missing.
Who?
Mr. Reigns.
Oh, right. Mr. Reigns. Right, that guy. I always forget about him. Always. Oh, well, I guess I can. Then I should retire this, then.
Shag, hump, insert, erect, lick, dick, Shield.
You had to, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. 3, 2. Anyway, moving on. This was a great opening segment. Also on this program, Sasha Banks and Nia Jax. .. Just .. Sasha Banks and Nia Jax battled for the number one contendership for the Raw Women's Championship. Before we get into the match, Alexa Bliss had her very own platform to sit.
A silver throne, if as you will. That was just perfect.
She's the queen had her throne.
The
goddess had her throne. And yeah, she sat there and watched. They had a really good match. It was a really good, fun match. Nia eventually would tap out. And Sasha Banks is headed to SummerSlam.
No great shock here, but it was a good match.
It was very enjoyable.
Yeah.
It was better than their two encounters on pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Which was good, and everyone knew Sasha was winning. We had some confrontations backstage with Kurt Angle. He was talking to the Hardys. And then Miz and Maurice and Poe and Curtis showed up, and they were talking about things, about what Kurt's going to do about Kurt Angle. Kurt was doing nothing. Hardys laughed and then left. Angle said Axel has a match with Jason Jordan. Miz was like, nope, I'm going to have the match with Jordan instead. But before they could get to that, a referee came in and said, Finn and Bray do have a problem with each other. We have to go handle it. So we came back from break, and they were brawling backstage. And Kurt Angle said, no need to wait till SummerSlam. You guys fight tonight.
Finn's like, screw that. We're going to do it now.
We're going to do it now.
Right now.
We're going to do it right here, right now. Yeah.
I love this. Finally. After 3-4 years of Bray Wyatt being on the main roster, they finally put him in a backstage altercation with somebody. Good lord! It's about damn time! Do it again! Keep doing it! Have him stalk people backstage. Have him just be visible backstage. It's like he stays in his little hidey hole the entire time till he walks out for his match. It's like, for the love of God, have him interact with people backstage. I'm not saying he has to do comedy bits, but I love the hell out of this.
Yeah, it was really, really good, and we'll get to the match here in a bit. Elias played and sung a guitar. R-Truth interrupted. R-Truth got laid out.
Bye, R-Truth.
Big Cass came out. He talked, or attempted to talk, got booed, tried to talk, kept going, stopping and starting. Called Enzo the funny guy. Yay. He'll be the best big man in wrestling. Enzo came out. He started talking. And people were losing interest. Enzo brought out Big Show. Big Show and Enzo brawled with Cass. Enzo got taken out. Big Show got taken out. When the club showed up and helped Cass injure Big Show's right hand. Because that's what the match needed. Big Show with working with one hand.
This is where things took just a kinky turn.
We got things tied up to shark cages, yeah.
Yeah, it's like we had fisting in the first hour, and then we had some like light bondage in this with a little choking, and then of course there's the whole cage situation. This segment could have been about 10 minutes shorter than it actually was, and it would have been a hell of a lot better than what it was. Like, bless them for trying. Like, seriously, bless them for trying, but honestly, this was just like, why is this still going on?
Every time Big Show and Cass touch and start fighting, it feels like an eternity. I don't have high hopes for Sunday, but that's just me.
Yeah, this was just okay. This was not my favorite thing of the night.
Akira Tozawa took on Neville and won the title.
In a really good match. A really, really good match.
The king had been dethroned. Tozawa was champion. And then the king had a little freak out on the Twitter.
It was hilarious.
He tweeted, no. Then quote tweeted himself saying no about 4 more times. That's tweet a week here on the Raw Post Show. This was a highly enjoyable match. Really highly enjoyable. Big Show was backstage and talked about his broken hand, but won't stop him. Emma was complaining about not getting a chance. Mickey said, well, I'll give you a chance. We fight tonight. They had a match later. Mickey James won. No real shock.
But it was a good match.
It was a good match. We had Miz versus Jason Jordan. It really didn't do much. Ended with everyone coming out. Hardys made the save. Turned into a six-man. The Hardys and Jason Jordan beat the Miz and the Miztourage. Thoughts on Curtis Axel?
He was trying to Vogue it up tonight. I don't know what he was doing. I have no idea what Bo Dallas was doing. They were trying. So bless them. This match was just all right. When it went from the singles to the six-man, it got a little better, but...
It wasn't a whole lot of anything. It was six-man tag team wrestling that really didn't get heated and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, I let out a huge yawn. That was kind of my...
Implied statement on the match.
Yeah, implied statement on the match, but I didn't want to yawn on the show, so it's like, let me mute real quick. But yeah, I mean, this was just, it was there. It was fine for what it was. Like I said, it got better when it turned into the six-man. Because it got a little bit more interesting because you were able to get the Hardys in there. You were able to get Dallas and Axel in there and mix it up a little bit more. But yeah, this was just like, you know, I'm waiting for them to find that right moment of heat for like Jason Jordan to throw that into a feud for him to ignite something. But so far, it's like, it's just not there.
It really isn't.
They're just throwing him in matches because he's Kurt Angle's son. And it's like, okay, look, find him something to do, please.
So as we mentioned, Bray Wyatt battled Finn Balor. They had a good match. Bray Wyatt crotched Finn Balor on the top rope.
He tried to mount him.
Dragged him off of it and hit him with Sister Abigail for the 1-2-3 clean win.
I was happy. I was ecstatic. It's like, yay! That means he's going to die on Sunday.
Bray Wyatt then performed another Sister Abigail. And then the Wyatt screech happened. And then Bray Wyatt appeared. Bray Wyatt appeared with what, Lindsay? Wait, don't say it. I have to tell you.
You have to tell me?
I have to tell you exactly what it was.
I was going to say, don't you have a prepared statement?
I do have a prepared statement from WWE.com to explain everything that went down. With the battle won, Wyatt administered a second Sister Abigail and briefly vanished, reappearing only to empty a decrepit bucket filled with a vicious, acidic red fluid over Balor's head, leaving the Irishman squirming in horror.
It was blood. Actually, technically, it was fake blood. It's like really dyed red cornstarch syrup, whatever you want to call it. But it was meant to be blood. Like this whole, oh yeah, it's at... No.
A decrepit bucket filled with a vicious, acidic red fluid.
If that was acid, Finn Balor would not have a face left, okay? The implication that it's acid is terrible. They really should not have said that.
He wasn't done yet, however. There, they added more to this. A recovering Balor successfully petitioned. So we got signatures? Successfully petitioned Kurt Angle for a rematch on Sunday, leaving Raw with an ominous vow to reveal his demons to the Reaper of Souls.
No, it's called Bray Wyatt has his demons and I have mine. And everybody knows what that means. That means Finn's getting painted up for Sunday, which we all kind of figured. Like, I was hoping that they would, like, spread this out a little bit more, where they go to the next pay-per-view with it before the demon comes out, but okay, alright, I'll take it. That Bray Wyatt apparently dumping a bucket of a mysterious red liquid that's not blood, but is totally blood, but we can't say blood because this is PG, would do the trick.
A vicious, acidic red fluid over Balor's head.
It's not acidic! It's not acidic! Okay?
I'm only reading what it said, and now Bray Wyatt is the Reaper of Souls?
Well, they've used that for him in the past, but I think they're trying to get away from Inner of the Worlds. I mean, he kind of gets more takerish every day.
Yeah, I know.
Also, WWE, you cutting away from Bray's entrance? I live for that twirl, damn it. Every week, I live to see Bray Wyatt do that twirl in the ring, and I didn't get to see it this week because, no, we had to go commercial. Like, you couldn't wait a minute just so we could see the twirl? And then go to commercial break?
Nope.
I mean, honestly, who cuts away from Bray Wyatt's entrance? It's spectacular.
Kurt Angle brought out Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar. Heyman said if you put Lesnar in the same ring as the challengers, then you could have all the security you want and add 10,000 more, but all hell would break loose. Heyman says Lesnar's bad mood is justified. Heyman recalled his father telling him, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean the whole world is not against you. Heyman said there was a conspiracy that resulted in Lesnar being in the ring with three top challengers. He talked about how one of them could escape like a thief in the night with the Universal title. Heyman says, I'm a fan. And as a fan, Mr. Angle, that concept sucks. Heyman said, talked about someone beating Lesnar in a singles match scenario and how fans could then point to a person as being the guy, their guy and the rightful Universal champion. Heyman said it was sure as hell wouldn't be Samoa Joe. It won't be Braun Strowman. Don't get me wrong, Braun Strowman has all the tools to be champion, but he's a monster among men, but in this horror film that happens this Sunday at SummerSlam, Beast slays Monster. He talked about Roman Reigns, cute booze. Heyman said Reigns is the man who retired The Undertaker and claims it his yard. He said if Roman's yard is in Lesnar's house, and rent is due at SummerSlam. He said he doesn't do predictions, he only says spoilers. He said two things will happen on Sunday. One, the conspiracy is successful and Lesnar is ripped off of the title, and then he and Lesnar leave WWE. He said if that happened, you might as well lock this beast in a cage. Hint, hint. Two, Lesnar beats the challengers and shows that Heyman has actually undersold the greatness of Lesnar. He told the crowd, as the jury, and said his case for them buying the WWE to see SummerSlam. I'm going to stop there. Thoughts on hint hints?
Paul Heyman, the master of messing with people.
Or is he?
We don't know. That's the thing. But it's Heyman. He's screwing with people. Because he can.
Samoa Joe came out. He talked about he would alleviate some of Heyman's fears. He said he doesn't fear Brock Lesnar. He's coming for Lesnar and going to rip the title out of his hands as he puts him to sleep. Braun comes out and says, in case you didn't know, I'm the last man standing. And then, well, if you don't believe me, ask Roman Reigns. Joe said, well, if it wasn't for me, you would just be lying there on the ground because I was the one who put Reigns down. Roman Reigns came down. He speared Samoa Joe. Reigns got power slammed by Braun Strowman. And then Lesnar and Braun Strowman slowly made their way to the middle of the ring. And then security jumped in and held these two men apart. They broke free at times. Security would back them up. Then they would lay out these poor, poor security men until the wrestlers among wrestlers come to the ring and hold them apart. This was fun. This was a hot close to the show. It was really awesome.
I liked how Brock sized Braun up. I like how Brock was standing there looking at Braun going, yeah, all right, let's do this. I want to dance with you. Let's do this. Like, Brock seemed genuinely interested in Braun because it's not any man that can make Brock Lesnar look small. Braun Strowman makes Brock Lesnar look small.
And beyond that, you can see why they wanted to do this match. For a while. This is why they were trying to do it at Great Balls of Fire. You see why.
Because it's going to be physical.
It won't
It's not going to be a wrestling match. It's going to be a fight.
It'll be a less than 10-minute fight, but it'll be a great 10 minutes.
Yeah, where they'll just beat the crap out of each other. I'm fine with that. I mean, I would actually be very interested to see Braun and Brock one-on-one. I mean, I think Brock would have to walk Braun through it, but that's not a problem. They could get through it. And I mean, you put a stip on it just to cover your tracks, and it's perfect.
Anything can go. I suplex you, you slam me, I suplex you, you slam me for 10 minutes. Brock does his little dance, Braun gets up and screams, Braun, and you're good.
I'm not finished with you, and you did, yeah. I mean, it kind of writes itself, which is good, but I'm okay with them doing the four-way here because then that can lead to something between Braun and Brock later. It sets all that up here.
Oh, yeah. Without question. Without question.
But yeah, this was a great way to end Raw. This was a great way to head into SummerSlam. Again, my only complaint is I feel like they're going for the backstage pull apart a little bit too much recently. But, because you had two in one night. So, but other than that, it was perfect.
Things are heated up for the biggest party in the summer. They'll do it for the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, Summerfest, 11 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/RackRadioShow. Should be a fun, fun time. If you haven't heard it, go to youtube.com/RackRadioShow. The CB Radio Champion, Tim Stein, sends a message to his challenger, Team Chat. It's all available on youtube.com/RackRadioShow. Thursday night, speaking of Rack Radio Show, it's the Rack.
That's right. Tune in because we will have the NXT analyst, maybe. And the analysts, The assistant to the assistant of the analyst.
Oh, no, it's the assistant to the assistant to the assistant of the assistant regional analyst.
Okay, there we go. There's his full title. With us on the show previewing NXT, we're also going to be talking SummerSlam. We're going to have news. We're going to have notes. We're going to have Tweet of the Week. Everything you could ever possibly want, minus an interview. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, it's The Rack.
Well, anyway, yes, Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter.com, YouTube.com, Twitch.tv/Rack Radio Show, Instagram.com/Rack Radio Show, and all that fun, happy stuff. Saturday night, midnight edition, CB Radio, The Weird, The Wacky, The Unusuals. We're gearing up for 500 episodes. We're doing, I believe, one-liners this week. CBRadioLive.com. Sunday, right after SummerSlam, Wrestle Talk Radio hits the airwaves to recap everything that goes down. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11-10 p.m. Eastern at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. And remember, WTR Pick'em, the pick sheet will be available once they make the full final card. You can win a copy of Pure Country, Pure Heart, the digital version, starring the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Side note, I forgot to say this earlier, but very jealous that Adam Pearce got to hug Bray Wyatt tonight. Little jealous of that. Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter, at Lynn Sward, L-A-N-S-W-A-R-D, and go to my website, psychboarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Lynn Sward, same as the Twitter.
Girlwork.net, wrestling figure photography, Instagram.com/MBG1211. You can follow the newly engaged man. So, for Lindsay, I'm Rock. We'll see you Thursday for The Rack. And right back here for Raw Post Show, 11-10 p.m. Eastern. Long day, anyways. And always streaming live on TuneIn Radio, right here at WildTalkRadio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.